Teams everywhere are dealing with a serious problem, a productivity problem. It's no secret, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. Most tech is too complicated, there are too many time-consuming tasks, and teams aren't getting the info they need to close deals and connect with customers. Don't worry, though. HubSpot's customer platform can help. It was built to save time and make your job easier so you can get back to building your business. No more hours wasted on time-consuming tasks. No more chasing down prospect info. No more one system for this, another system for that. HubSpot can help you find leads, reach prospects, and deliver the insights you need to convert them to customers, all in one place. Plus, HubSpot AI can literally do more of your work for you so you can focus more on scaling your business. Because HubSpot knows you have some big growth goals, and they're here to make your productivity problem no problem at all. Visit HubSpot.com to learn how they can help you grow better.
Welcome to Wednesday, everybody. It's April 10th. I'm John Weigel here with Catherine Laidlaw, and this is the Hustle Daily Show. Avocados weren't always the most popular fruit in the produce section. Since the days of minimal West Coast imports from Mexico in the early 1900s, we're now seeing a gargantuan billion-dollar demand for the once called, quote, alligator pear. But how did Americans go from avocado curious to avocado mad? We'll get to that in a bit, but first let's give you the hits and headlines today in business and tech. All right, to start us off here, 3G Capital, the Brazilian PE firm, is saying no to ketchup. It sold its 16.1% stake in Kraft Heinz, leaving Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway as the largest remaining shareholder. So Warren Buffett gets all the ketchup. Next, Pfizer's RSV shot, Abrysvo, showed promising results in clinical trial. The shot, which is currently approved in some countries for people aged over 60 and pregnant women, could potentially protect the 10% of U.S. adults 18 to 49 who are at risk of severe disease. All right, moving over to festival season, Coachella is going to Epic Games' Fortnite for the third time, taking over Fortnite Festival's jam stage to let players access themed content like special outfits and tracks from Coachella's performers. Catherine, what do you think about this exciting Coachella activation?
I mean, to be honest, in this economy, this might be the most affordable way to get to Coachella. I'm intrigued. It might get me playing Fortnite.
Yeah, very true. You know, Fortnite has often done a lot of music collaborations like this. They had, I guess, like 60-foot Travis Scott avatar playing some Travis Scott songs a few years ago. They had the same thing with an Ariana Grande avatar. So yeah, they have a long history of coupling with music. But, you know, being able to go to Coachella without actually going to Coachella, sign me up.
Right? I could get into it.
Yeah. All right. Up next, Google unveiled Google Vids, an app powered by Gemini AI that creates videos from text prompts and document uploads. The app joins Google Docs, Sheets, and Slides as part of the Google Workspace. And finally, Automattic, the company that owns WordPress.com and Tumblr, will acquire Beeper for $125 million. You may not exactly know Beeper, but Beeper has been in the headlines as an app that brought blue text to Android before getting blocked by Apple. So excited to see more from them in the near future. Okay, moving on to the big story today. Today's big story is all about the rise of the avocado in the United States. Originally a foreign concept to many Americans, the avocado is now sitting on top of billions of dollars and is being produced at an alarming rate. But Catherine, where did this all begin and when were Americans first introduced to the avocado?
Yeah, so obviously the avocado has been around for centuries and has been a mainstay of Mexican cuisine, but it's a little bit newer to America and it didn't get introduced to us until the early 1900s when some seeds made their way up here and a couple of wealthier orchard owners were able to plant avocado trees. Mm-hmm. Some really fancy hotels in New York and San Francisco back in the 1920s were importing them, but at the time they were paying a dollar per fruit, which today is roughly $25 wow. a piece. Actually, at the time, they were called not the avocado, but alligator pear, which if you've ever seen an avocado, you can sort of understand where the name came from.
You know, I never really knew that before reading your article that you wrote. That came as a surprise, but honestly, that's a good description for it. I mean, unattractive, but decent description. What or who kind of transitioned it from being some undesirable fruit to being the biggest deal in the produce section?
Right. So the first major branding pivot, as it were, came from the California Avocado Growers Exchange, which was a trade group that during the 1920s realized, hey, there could be a market for this fruit here, but its name is not doing it any favors. And so they decided to change it to avocado, which was an adaptation from an Aztec word. Mm-hmm. And so they put out a statement, and then slowly the new name caught on. Mm-hmm. From there, a number of mostly hobby growers at the time in Florida and California started experimenting with growing the avocado. Mm-hmm. And then this hobby farmer slash postman for most of his life happened upon a couple of seeds that sprouted into a tree that became the Haas avocado mother tree. Wow. And Haas avocados are obviously in nearly every grocery store produce section across the continent these days. Oh, yeah. It was sort of a happy accident that Rudolf Haas discovered the variety that he did. So it was sort of the efforts of this trade group, and then a lowly postman, and then some major PR pushes sort of closer to the 80s and 90s gets you to the avocado guzzling present.
Yes, and guzzle them we do. In terms of the PR pushes, I feel like something that stands out hugely is the Super Bowl. And every year, you know, guacamole is like a must-have item when you're watching the Super Bowl. How did avocados kind of get a spot on that table?
One thing that really struck me as I was researching this story was that that didn't just happen organically. That was engineered. Hill & Knowlton, which was the PR firm that was hired by the California Avocado Commission to boost, let's say, domestic consumption, they didn't create the association, but they definitely capitalized on it. Guacamole was always sort of a side snack at the Super Bowl, but the team at Hill & Knowlton said, what if we really pushed this and created a campaign and involved players and their families to sort of really tap into that sort of celebratory aspect that now accompanies the Super Bowl? At the time, I think it was less about spectacle and more about the actual football. Mm-hmm. And so they created this campaign called the Guacamole Bowl, where they were pitting NFL players and their families against one another in a recipe challenge, effectively, that the public could vote on. And it got people really excited. People voted. And it was like a people's choice way to select not the winner of the game, but a different kind of winner. Mm-hmm. And they repeated that for several years after that. Former NFL commissioners have actually come out and said that without guacamole, the Super Bowl wouldn't be the same. You know, it's surpassed Cinco de Mayo mm-hmm. as being the day Americans eat the most avocado in their diet. So it's really become this sort of tight-knit association that came about from back in the 90s.
Yeah. And you talk about avocado consumption. How many avocados are we consuming here in America is the question.
Billions.
Okay. Wow.
So back in the mid-90s, we were sitting at 360 million pounds of avocados. 10 years after that, so after the Guacamole Bowl takes off, after this other campaign called Mr. Ripe Guy, where Hill & Knowlton sort of introduced a human avocado, as it were, to try and humanize this fruit and get people to understand it a little bit better, that number had almost tripled. So by 2005, we were eating 900 million pounds of avocados a year. And by 2022, it's now close to 4 billion avocados. Wow. And so that's something like 28 billion pounds of avocados a year. And so the growth has just really been astronomical. It's incredible the degree to which it's become a fixture on kitchen tables. And I think that's partly because people understand how to eat it and what it does for us now, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you think about it, you can't bite into it like an apple. You can't peel it like an orange. Like it takes some education to even understand when it's ripe. The fact that it gets uglier as it ripens is a little unusual for a fruit. Uh-huh. There's some mental gymnastics at work here before we sort of collectively understand what to do with this alligator pear. And so the degree to which it's taken over is pretty insane, I think.
Definitely. I mean, that growth over time is pretty ridiculous. And where we're sitting now, it sounds like we're getting, I mean, billions of pounds of avocados imported all the time. I imagine a lot of them come from Mexico. So I think maybe it was 10 years ago, there was some issue in the avocado market and there was some sort of shortage. And it sounds like that farmers globally, including Mexico, including the US, have to churn out avocados at a much higher frequency than they used to. And is that creating any lasting impact on the environment or import economies?
I'm glad you asked about that because it would be easy, I think, to look at this as just like a bonanza business success story. Sure. And in some ways it is, but there have definitely been ripple effect consequences. And so most of the world's avocado supply comes from Mexico. 2.6 million tons of the world's avocados were grown there in 2022. And so, yes, environmentalists and conservationists have flagged this as sort of an increasing problem. I mean, obviously, it's ravaged forests. There are water shortages across the country. And some have speculated that it's even led to small earthquakes, the degree to which production has ramped up and changed the landscape. On top of that, over the last maybe 5 years or so, it's been talked about in the news that cartels down in Mexico have gotten involved in avocado production because it's seeing such blockbuster numbers. So that isn't an environmental impact necessarily, but certainly a consequence that the world's import and export regulations are going to have to contend with. 2 years ago, the U.S. actually temporarily banned imports from Mexico after an inspector was threatened there. And so it is on regulators' radars right now, but Americans' avocado habits causing cartel violence, I don't think that we can say yes definitively yet, but it is a situation that people are monitoring, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Considering that people in the avocado industry have seen such growth in recent years, what are the goals, you would say, of people in the avocado industry, or I guess big avocado in the near future?
I love the idea that there is a big avocado.
I really enjoy that too. Just commanding everybody.
Yeah. Our avocado overlords. So yeah, for being a fruit and not necessarily branded, avocados have a pretty serious marketing budget behind them. There are, of course, a number of growers groups and things like that. You'll see avocados incorporated into different influencer recipes and accounts and all of that stuff. A lot of that is done by marketing teams for various industries. And so that is still very much in play, and they are pushing to make sure that the fruit stays on top of people's grocery lists. Uh-huh. The California Avocado Commission, which spearheaded the campaigns that were really successful back in the 90s, actually say in their latest annual report that their goal is to make the avocado America's favorite fruit by 2025. So we've got 9 more months, 8 more months.
Yeah.
The countdown is on.
Oh my God, it has begun. Maybe by 2025 it will be. Well, Catherine, thank you so much for coming to us with all of this avocado information. I think it is just very interesting to note how the business of a single fruit has just absolutely blown up over the past 2 decades. And it kind of shows no signs of stopping. You know, I mean, I go to the grocery store all the time. You got so many avocados there. You got the avocado oil. You got avocado products. It seems endless.
It's so much more than just guacamole.
It's so much more. That should be their tagline. You should do marketing for them. And that is going to do it for us today. Thanks for tuning into the Hustle Daily Show. You can head to the link in the description of this podcast to vote for the Hustle newsletter in the Webby Awards. We're a proud part of the HubSpot Podcast Network. Our editor today is Robert Hartwig, and our executive producer is Darren Clark. We've got a ton more tech and business coverage in our newsletter. If you're not subscribed, go get yourself signed up at thehustle.co/email, and we'll see you tomorrow. Hey, everybody, this great new podcast just came out, and I can't wait to tell you about it. It's called The Next Wave, AI in the Future of Technology, and it's hosted by Matt Wolf and Nathan Lands. And of course, it's brought to you by the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals. You can catch The Next Wave with Matt Wolf and Nathan Lands, who are leading AI creators who are your guiding light in the AI and technology frontier. AI technology is transforming the way we do business, and the media landscape is a bit fragmented, but The Next Wave strives to be the leading podcast on AI technology and how you can apply it to growing your business. You can listen to The Next Wave wherever you get your podcasts.